and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the fact that the bad guys most always go free. That is wrong.
Welcome. This is Jerry Gadetti filling in for John Stadtmiller today. Welcome to our program. John's shoes are very large shoes to fill indeed. I am honored to be here. And for those of you who know about my Saturday program, you'll know that we have been running two-hour programs focusing on the impending influenza pandemic, which we feel is likely at this point to affect the entire globe, maybe in the short term. Perhaps not in the long term. We have a special guest today who has been a guest before on my Saturday program, and she was so well received, and we hope very much that you'll take advantage of her expertise. Sue Smith is a Canadian registered nurse who has worked on the front lines of infectious disease management as both a military and civilian professional. Struck by her firsthand observations of how infectious disease impacts lives individually and collectively, her research now focuses on the integrated impacts and management of infectious disease events. Sue is a prolific writer on the topic of pandemics and how the next one, being now at our doorstep, will play out on all of us, medically, socially, economically, and psychologically. I don't need to tell you, having watched Katrina and now Rita unfolding, that if you're sitting back waiting for your governments, including your federal government, to take care of you and your loved ones in the event of a catastrophe, you have another guest coming. And Sue is also expert in the area of preparedness for these pandemics. She has seen this kind of infectious disease firsthand. Sue has been asking what some are calling the most critical questions about our medical and general community's readiness for the first catastrophic pandemic of the 21st century. Now, those of you who have studied pandemics at all or keeping up with this unfolding catastrophe on the Internet will know that in 1918, that was our last great pandemic. And we now know that it killed not the original 20 million that they think or thought that it killed around the earth, but by doing a state-by-state analysis, they've determined the number lay somewhere between 50 million and 100 million around the earth at a time when global population was only 1.6 billion people. Reverse those numbers now, and we have 6.1 billion people that we share this thing called Earth with. And unfortunately, when you have that many rats in a cage, that many people on a planet, you've got them so much closer together, and now they're all traveling all over the place to see each other on an hourly basis by jet planes around the earth, as well as by ship and so on. We are trading with one another all around the earth. And unfortunately, that makes us even more susceptible to a population-reducing pandemic than was possible back in 1918. When you look at the numbers that were killed in 1918 and you extrapolate what is possible with a pandemic today, it is absolutely mind-boggling. And unfortunately, as I'm speaking to you, a situation is worsening all around the globe with this H5N1 type of influenza and influenza A that our bodies have not seen before. And in fact, in the past 2 weeks in Indonesia, in Jakarta, Indonesia, this is a highly populous nation, we have what we think is the first human-to-human, more easily or casually transmitted avian influenza H5N1. Events are unfolding there that have international communities and scientists sending folks in there to see what's up. We'll be right back.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
Have you heard about the Ark Institute and their famous non-hybrid heirloom vegetable seeds? No genetic engineering there. In fact, you may never need to buy seeds again. These days, you need to ensure that your family can eat no matter what happens. The Ark Institute has agreed to offer Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirlooms and their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. Their packets are generous enough for fresh eating, seed saving, and canning and freezing, too. Green beans, corn, carrots, peas, the list goes on and on. Learn how to be self-sufficient in good times and bad. A complete family food security package is just $99. And remember, shipping is free. Call 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Welcome back. This is Jerry Gaddetti from the ARC Institute filling in for John Stadtmiller today on the Intel Report. John's shoes are very large shoes to fill, but we'll do our best here to do that for you. And we would ask that until you hear some of the things that we have to post for you today, some of the service that we hope to do for you today, that you hold on to those calls until we call for them, because I'd like for you to get to know Sue Smith a little bit first. And Sue, again, is a Canadian registered nurse who has worked in the front lines of infectious disease management. Sue has been posting novel-length posts on the Internet about avian influenza pandemic unfolding in her own neighborhood and so on, these fictions that are really more reality than they are fiction. And now, Sue, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jerry. It's nice to be talking to you again.
Yeah, I'm glad you can make it. We have so many things unfolding as we speak. Not only do we have readers down here, we have Katrina and the aftermath of Katrina, which now seems to be getting way much worse because we've got levees breaking here, water pouring in. This, of course, is the hotbed of disease, as well as all of those poor folks who are so weakened immunologically, who are now dislocated not once but twice as they try to escape Houston area and so on. And we have all of our national resources here in the United States aimed at this area of the Gulf Coast, when, in fact, Sue, you and I know from our readings that the influenza influenza epidemic, and it has now been called an epidemic, has sprouted a new ugly head in Indonesia, hasn't it?
It certainly has, and I know it's causing me a lot of concern. Have you had a chance to give your listeners a little bit of a background on what's going on there?
You just go right ahead, and we'll kind of do that together. Why don't you start?
Sure. About 2 weeks ago, Indonesian hospitals began reporting suspected cases of the H5N1 influenza in people. And over the past 2 weeks now, and actually it's a little bit less than 2 weeks, we're up to what might be as many as 27 suspected cases. Two have been confirmed by lab testing. And in the reading I'm doing in the various media, the numbers vary a bit. I'm seeing anywhere from 19 to 27. Nevertheless, even if it's only, and I use that term loosely, 19, when you consider this has happened in less than a two-week period, that's rather concerning to me.
Right, and we should back up and say that in July, we had in a middle-class neighborhood, in a suburban neighborhood, we had a dad who was an accountant for the government, actually, and with two daughters, a one-year-old, an eight-year-old, and he was 37, wasn't he, Sue? Somewhere in that area. And all three of them, unfortunately, got H5N1, and the interesting...
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calben Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calben Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calben at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calben Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbenpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Well, welcome back, folks. This is Jerry Gaddetti from the ARC Institute. We know that there are a lot of folks out there who believe there are a lot of folks who would not like to hear the truth on radio, and perhaps that's what happened. But if we ever figure it out, or you figure it out, you're better than we. All of a sudden, my phone went dead, and Sue's phone had troubles, too, and we had nothing but static, and my phone is still not usable. So I'm talking to you by cell phone. Perhaps the quality's not quite great. But I'm pleased to be sitting in for John Stattmiller today. Very large shoes to fill, for sure. And Sue Smith, as you'll recall, is a Canadian registered nurse who has specialized in infectious disease management on both military and civilian fronts. And Sue and I were just talking about the outbreak of the H5N1 avian influenza in Jakarta, Indonesia, which is a far more serious situation so far in any of the outbreaks we've seen around the world. Sue, why don't you pick up from there? We did talk about the accountant and his daughters, and they died, correct?
That's right. They both, all three of them, rather, died.
And they had no exposure.
No. In fact, I was reading this morning, I don't remember what news site it was, but it was specifically mentioned that the Indonesian government had frankly given up on trying to find how they'd been exposed.
They went from one to the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what's bothering me right now about Indonesia. They seem to be waffling back and forth with various aspects of what they're saying about this outbreak.
Right.
And I really don't like that, and I don't think very many people who are following this are liking it either. One thing we'd all really very much like to have right now is solid information,
mm-hmm.
and they're certainly not providing it.
Right, and what we've noticed certainly in any of these cases that have come up is it appears that there are similar small clusters of family members transmitting this influenza from one to the other. A caretaker will get it, for example. We've seen these in cases in Thailand and in Vietnam as well. And the World Health Organization has claimed that this is not yet a level 4, but a level 3 phase pandemic, which is a whole different, less intense level. Yet in Indonesia, we're seeing cases where we do have more transmission, apparently, from person to person, and yet they are trying to soften that and say that it's kind of casual and it's in very close family situations, or perhaps could be spread from a person to caretaker, but we don't really consider that efficient transmission. And yet we do agree that it seems very popular, 220 million. How many in the city? Do you remember? Is it about 20 million in Jakarta?
I was looking yesterday.
It's about 20, right?
Roughly 20 million in Jakarta itself, and the surrounding areas, of course. And I'm finding what the WHO is saying absolutely ridiculous. I'm getting the impression they're making up definitions on the fly, rather than say, "Look, people, this is more serious than anybody would like, but it is more serious." If they're not able to say, to point, for example, to a poultry yard and say, well, we have these seven people who are suspected of having H5N1 influenza and they all had contact, rather than say, well, let's make up a new term to describe what's going on, why don't they come right out and say, we may be seeing human-to-human transmission here? Whether or not it's efficient isn't really the point. Is it passing from humans to humans in any way, shape, or form? I think it is. I think it's beginning to do just that.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you on that. We've looked at cases in Thailand, for example, that mother who lived hundreds of miles away cradling a 10-year-old child for 10 hours, the mother getting it and dying, and then the aunt getting it after the sister visited her and after they went to the funeral. These were clearly cases of human-to-human transmission since the mother had absolutely zero exposure to poultry. And now we have this situation in Indonesia. And for folks who don't know, in Indonesia, the birds live very closely with all of the human residents of the entire country. Birds are held almost as sacred animals there. As a matter of fact, I understand that it is part of the religious beliefs as well. There's a high Muslim population, and they keep a lot of doves, is what I've read. I don't know that personally, but I've read that. And that it's very painful and undesirable for them to kill off their birds. And yet we have a situation where we have birds who were the first carriers of this particular virus, who now, living closely with humans, have been able to transfer it to humans or to pigs and then to humans because they have a lot of pigs there, right? And And so we've got a situation there where we've got a perfect mixing pot for this virus. And why don't you talk a bit about some of the mutations that can occur that make human-to-human transmission even more likely?
One of the probably the most common theory out there and accepted among the scientific community, and there are others, as to how this would change to become a disease which very easily infects humans, is in humans, flu viruses have to attach to a specific part of the cell, and that is very different from the same part of that, those types of cells they have to attach to in birds. Pigs, however, happen to have both those same areas on the same cells. And pigs can be infected by both avian bird-type flus and human-type flus. Now, it's possible that a pig could be infected by both a human and an avian-type flu, and flu viruses can be rather promiscuous, shall we say. They can mix and match their genes, and you could get a flu virus, if you get two different flu viruses, an avian one and a human one, in the same pig cell, while both those viruses are dividing up, you can have a sort of a genetic mix and match, and you can end up with a third type of virus that has genetic components of both human and avian types of flu. The big fear is that we could end up with a virus that has all the nasty, nasty things we've been hearing about with this bird flu, that so far is pretty much limited to a few cases that we know of, combined with characteristics in the human flus that we see every year that make it so easy for people to catch from each other. And that could turn out to be quite the monster. It could.
Right.
And that's what we all fear.
Right. And for reference, back to that 1918 pandemic, estimates are anywhere from a 2 to 5%, and usually I say about a 3% fatality ratio. And what we're looking at here, if you average up the H5N1 fatalities across Asia, if you average them up, they break out. At first it was 52%, now it's looking like 55%. I mean, we're adding in now, of course, Jakarta's figures as well in Indonesia, and we're looking at a 55% fatality ratio. Now, if folks do the math in a hurry here, grab your calculators, you've got a population on the Earth of 6.1 billion people. Scientists are estimating that anywhere from 25 to 50% of the global population may be infected if this goes human-to-human efficiently, like regular influenza. And if you take that proportion of the population that is sick, and then you multiply that, if it were to keep that fatality ratio of 55%, heaven forbid, we're looking at not millions, not tens of millions, not hundreds of millions, but perhaps a billion or more human beings killed by this thing. It is truly, it would truly be catastrophic for the human race. This is what keeps scientists up at night, right, Sue?
Very much so. And if you want to bring it to a more personal level and use a Canada uses an assumed 35% attack rate, that is 35 out of every 100 people exposed would get it. If you apply that figure to the U.S., you would end up with 112 million sick and roughly 56 million dead, assuming a 55% mortality rate. And
right.
That scares the socks off me. Thinking about
the socks off me, too. And that's probably what's keeping Dr. Osterholm up at night, too, supposedly,
because
we only have about 2 weeks' worth of caskets left here in the United States.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual
manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on the shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of Choice Garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Welcome back. This is Jerry Gaddetti from the ARC Institute. Substituting today for John Stattmiller, we're honored to do so, for the National Intel Report. And certainly this is a lot of intel Sue Smith and I are sharing with you today. Unfortunately, Rita and Katrina have taken so much of the U.S. resources and attention that we're not getting the whole story or even a good portion of the story in the most imminent threat to the entire global population, and that is H5N1 influenza pandemic, which has the capability, as Sue and I were just talking about, of wiping out a large portion of the global population. This is not something, folks, that you take chicken soup to get better with. Certainly chicken soup could be part of the picture, but this has a very high fatality ratio, and unfortunately, it is an equal opportunity flu. It kills the young, the healthy, the ones with the greatest immune system, the best, may in fact be the most susceptible to death. That, Sue, we can talk about. Why don't I let you take that one? Why is it that folks with great immune systems are particularly susceptible to death from this bug?
To be perfectly honest, a big part of that answer are three simple words. We don't know. Isn't that reassuring?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not completely fair. We do have part of the answer. Young, healthy adults have young, healthy immune systems. And one of the things your immune system does when it's faced with a viral threat is put out a chemical or a class of chemical called cytokines. And they help. I'm not going to go into a long explanation here because I'll end up confusing myself, never mind anyone else.
It is very complex.
Oh, it is. What these cytokines do is help your body fight off the virus. Unfortunately, as a side effect, they bring a lot of swelling to the area where they come and congregate, and in the case of flu, that would be the lungs. Part of that swelling is fluid. So your lungs are filling up with fluid, and guess what? Breathing becomes a nightmare. After a while, it can become impossible, and exactly, you drown in fluids that your own body has placed in your lungs, and that reaction can and quite easily does become irreversible. And we don't know why certain people have this and others don't.
And we think it's because they tend to have hyper-reactive. I mean, people generally have, the younger they are and the more healthy they are, they have very reactive, very good immune systems, and perhaps they're the ones that produce the best responses. The other issue here, I think, is the fact that our bodies have not seen this particular combination of two proteins before. For those who aren't familiar with the shorthand H5N1, this is a type 5 hemagglutinin, and this is a spike, a protein spike on the outside of the virus that has to do with how a virus gets inside the cell to begin with. And the N, or neuraminidase, is a protein that allows the virus to come out of the cell after it has already replicated itself. Both of these make it very efficient at doing what it does. It's how a virus operates. It can't live on its own. It has to take over. It has to commandeer living cells because viruses themselves aren't considered living cells. They're not truly cells. They have to commandeer yours to do their dirty business. And so we've got H5N1. Now, Sue, I think you'd agree that we don't have any history anywhere in our record of an H5N1 combination hitting as a pandemic before, has it?
No, we have none at all. There was one outbreak in Hong Kong in 1997, but as far as we know, only 18 people became ill, but six of those died. So
right.
This is brand new to the human race, and because it's brand new, our bodies are essentially going to allow it in. We have no defenses against it.
Right. And unfortunately, we also have no... vaccinations. We have no vaccinations that we can just give you like a regular influenza vaccine. And a lot of folks listening, I know, are anti-vaccine to begin with. But most scientists would agree and most public health officials that the only hope the human race has at this moment, H5N1, is to develop a vaccine that will make your immune system fit in some form, the H5N1, and then not respond as vehemently as it does, as violently as it does. And causing you the kind of death that it does. And so Dr. Fauci at NIH has produced one, right? And what do you know about that one, Sue?
Well, it's been produced after a fair amount of work. It was sort of triumphantly announced as a success. We have a vaccine. And then we have, in the past, in the recent weeks, discovered that maybe we really don't have an answer. When they tested, apparently, people who had been given the vaccine after they'd had the vaccine, they found that the amount of antibodies in their blood were not as high as we would have liked to have seen. And they figured from that without adding anything else to the vaccine, adjuvants, as they call them, which are chemicals that sort of boost the immune, they're immune enhancers, if you will. Without these immune enhancers, we might need as much as 15 times the normal dose of the flu vaccine. So the 2 million doses that apparently the U.S. now has on hand, if you divide that by 15, well, you see where that leaves you. And furthermore, because the H5 is brand new to humans, everybody would need two doses 3 weeks apart. So, again, cut what they have available in half. So, essentially, no, we have nothing.
That's right. And it unfortunately takes 6 to 9 months to develop any kind of quantity of flu vaccine, even when we know what the genetic makeup of pandemic strain is going to be. And H5N1 isn't the whole story. There are changes within those genes or within other genes inside this RNA virus that make it necessary for you to produce a more precise, a more exact vaccine. That's why sometimes the influenza vaccine that we get every single fall fails, because they don't have the exact serotype or strain included, correct?
That's correct. They change very, very quickly. And
right.
We already know that there are about 250 different strains of H5N1 out there.
Mm-hmm.
And not one of those so far seems to have turned into the big pandemic strain. So when that one does come out, the experimental vaccine they're working on now, even if they find ways to improve it, might not work at all. So essentially,
right,
they'd have to start from scratch.
Right.
And what do we do in the meantime? That's
right.
The big question. I think, what do we do in the meantime?
Yeah, and we know that there are antiviral compounds, but for folks not reading up on this, they will tell you that... We already have resistance, genetic resistance, developing in H5N1 to at least two of the antivirals, correct?
Yes, we do. And because flu virus can change so fast, given time and exposure to any kind of treatment whatsoever, it is going to develop resistance to it. That's just the way it is. So the antivirals we have right now may work, but... It's strongly suspected, and I have to agree, they will only work for a time. And again, what do we do after that? And more importantly, who do we give them to while they're still working?
Right. As a matter of fact, you might find it interesting, but here in the state of Oregon, the ARC Institute is, we had an article that appeared in today's paper in the Oregonian requesting that 100 citizens come October 1 to a meeting with public health officials at the top of the state to determine, help them determine who will receive the limited vaccines or antivirals that may become available after a pandemic starts. They're asking for citizen input because, folks, this is kind of like a lifeboat situation. Who do you throw out of the lifeboat? Who do you let stay in the lifeboat? And you might argue that it should be doctors and nurses first because they're the ones that are going to be taking care of you. It should be the elderly and those who are immunologically depressed because of cancer or HIV/AIDS or whatever. It may be patients. Or then you can argue that really the ones who should receive it are not the ones who are sickest and the most likely it would seem to die, but maybe the ones who are the youngest because they're the ones whose immune system seem to have this really rapid, violent response that makes it possible for them to die. So who do you keep in the lifeboat? Who do you throw out? And I guess at this point, the only antiviral that so far has retained its ability to work would be Tamiflu, right?
I'm sorry, which one? Your line's a bit faded there.
Tamiflu.
Tamiflu, yes.
Tamiflu, correct.
Yeah, that's the one that seems to have the best effect against H5N1. But having said that, this is not exactly something where we can take 100 people, deliberately infect them with H5N1, and then test Tamiflu. We just don't do things like that.
Right.
Or I would like to think we don't.
Yeah, but, right, we'd like to think. Yeah. Those tests done by the FDA were done on animals, I think, where they tried to get that dosage, right?
Yeah, but I'm just struggling here with the idea of, my goodness, what a decision to be asked to make. These 100 people in Oregon, it's what a huge responsibility to voluntarily take on. And my hope is that before they're asked what, you know, they think would be the best way to distribute very rare vaccine is, will they be given the best information we have right now, including perhaps information that we, the general members of the public, don't have? Will they be given the facts they really need to make a really meaningful decision?
Right.
We don't know that.
Right, because unfortunately what appears to be happening globally right now is there's a whole lot, as usual, of smoothing over, covering up, softening the blow, trying not to cause a panic. And why? What kind of panic are we talking about? Well, we have the Nesbitt Group up in Canada. You probably have read their report. This is a top-notch investment banking firm. With a PhD, Dr. Sherry Cooper, for example, who is vice chair, let me see, she is executive vice president of the BMO Financial Group. She's the economist for Nesbitt Burns, and she's the global economic strategist for Harris Bank, a woman who is very highly respected for her knowledge, and she was asked to take on the question, what will be the effect of this pandemic if it does happen? What will be the effect on the global economy? And she says, literally, there will be a collapse of airline, land, and water transportation industries, tourist and hospitality sectors, retail, wholesale trade, along with essential imports and exports. At least for some period, it will trigger foreclosures, bankruptcies, credit restrictions, a financial panic. Whole swaths of the population will be unable to work. Caregiving or quarantine is going to keep people out of schools, out of jobs. Electric is going to go down. Water supplies may go down. Food supplies will be interrupted. Now we seem to get the big picture here. Why is it that governments do not want us to panic? Why would Indonesia not want us to panic and say, okay, let's stop all air travel there, let's stop all trade, and so on? I do think that might be playing into some of these decisions by world leaders to not tell the truth, the whole truth.
I think so. I find it extremely frustrating, and to be honest, I find it insulting that my government seems to be choosing not to tell me what they know and what they don't know. I can handle the truth. I'm an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I would far rather know what they know, and more importantly, what they don't know right now, than, for example, wake up tomorrow morning, turn on any network, just to see this ashen-faced anchor saying, guess what, folks? we've got a pandemic here, and then seeing this anchor and hired consultants having to explain what it is and what it means. I can just imagine cities and cities full of people sitting there watching the TV looking like deer caught in the headlights. They'll be in absolute shock. And then when that shock fades out, the anger will come. Why didn't anybody tell us and give us a chance to get ready? Why were we treated like children?
Sounds like Katrina. Only take Katrina, according to Dr. Osterholm, and multiply Katrina times 1,000, and you kind of get an idea, the hint, how bad this is going to be if it materializes. And unfortunately, well, we believe here at the ARC Institute, I'm sure you as a nurse, you believe it too, that the best defense people have is an offense or an ability to take care of themselves because they know about it. They respond as adults. They prepare for it. And having that preparation can feel somewhat confident in facing this great unknown, right?
Absolutely. I've dealt with that in my own household where just, you know, sharing what we did know and what we don't know so far with members of my own household got them past the point of just, you know, wanting to stand there and saying, oh, my God, what do I do? What do I do? And saying, okay, well, this doesn't sound too bad. Or if we know this and we do that, then maybe we have a chance to get through this potential problem. See, the more knowledge you have, the more you can work through for yourself and for your family and your own circumstances what are the best preparations you can make.
Right.
And, you know, having some idea, having a plan, even an outline of a plan, sure is going to give you a much better fighting chance than having nothing at all. And I really wish governments around the world, and this isn't unique to Indonesia or the U.S. or Canada, we seem to be seeing this in most countries. They're not saying anything. Or if they're saying something, they're hedging it so much, when it comes right down to it, they're saying nothing at all, or just confusing people even more.
Yeah, and what bothers me, too, Sue, is that you get one government who's giving you little bits and pieces of information. You get another government giving you another couple of pieces of information different from the first. You get the U.S. government giving you further little bits and pieces of information. And what it leaves us with, unfortunately, is the task of reading incessantly and patching together the truth, kind of like you'd patch pieces of a tapestry together, all different colors or a patchwork quilt, and pretty soon you begin to see the big picture.
Yeah,
and that's what you've been doing.
Yeah, it can take a frustratingly, you know, long amount of time.
Right.
I mean, I know where to go to get information. And even, you know, knowing where to go, sometimes just looking for one little fact can take me 3 or 4 hours because I might find that fact. Or I think I found it. When I go to confirm it, I find someone has a completely different fact on that same issue, and they're calling it a fact as well. And then I'll get opinions, scientific opinions ranging all over the map, and I sit there and scratch my head and think, well, what do I do here? Do I go worst case, best case, somewhere in the middle? And when you have to do this over and over and over again, you end up just wanting to kick something. Usually a politician.
Yes, that's a great place to start, isn't it? And unfortunately,
lately it seems to be.
Yeah, it really does. And maybe that's one of the best services we can do today, Sue. And you can tick some off, and I'll tick some off. Folks, grab a pen and pencil, and we'll give you some of the sites where you can do this research yourself. And I do know there are a lot of folks out there who've never had a computer in their lives. And the ARC Institute's been trying to help out on that front. And we've been sending out an introductory copy, an advisory on the avian influenza pandemic. You can get a hold of that if you don't have a computer at 1-800-255-1912. 1-800-255-1912. We are sending that out free of charge. We are also putting out an advisory, as I have time to run, free of charge. Now, Sue and I, many other people on computers have been using several sites. Why don't you go ahead and give a few of those websites, Sue, and I'll...
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins.
today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sangian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies, utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a 1-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Jerry Gaddetti again from the ARC Institute, filling in for John Statmiller, the National Intel Report. My guest today is Sue Smith of Canada. Sue publishes under the name Canadian Sue. You can read a lot of her great work at currevents.com. That's www.currevents.com. Canada Sue, there are tons of posts, maybe 5,000 of them or so, Sue. These are of fantastic information. There are a lot of intelligent folks there, doctors, researchers, nurses, preparation specialists, and so on. One of the problems with dealing with a cell phone, since our lines went dead here in the Pacific Northwest, Sue, is that I can't hear the commercials coming in. So I think I was asking you last, I don't know if you heard it, to state some of your favorite websites for this kind of research so that folks can start to get in the loop.
Okay. There's a site that has been put together recently that has been put together by the editors of three or four other sites, and it's a fantastic resource about avian flu. It's called, I'll just spell it out here, www.fluwiki.com, flu wiki. It has everything you could possibly want to know about avian flu. It's the kind of site, too, where people are encouraged to contribute what they know and to ask questions. And the site you listed, which I'll have to say I have a bias for because that's where I post Cur Events, we're not just a bunch of eggheads and flu nerds. We have people as recently as 2 hours ago that came on the site and said, "Hi, I'm new to this avian flu thing. Where do I start?" We're very friendly to anybody that's new, and there's a lot of discussion as well. Another one that's very good, and this one is done by some public health people who choose not to use their names because of job limitations and all that sort of interesting stuff, non-disclosure stuff. And it's called Effect Measure, and it's spelled www.EFFECTMEASURE.com.
Mm-hmm. Now, to think of measure the effects of. So
that's
effect
right.
Measure. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Now, as far as the other sites, you caught me with my pants down about 30
seconds. That's all right. Recombinomics.
Recombinomics is www.REC. I'm spelling it out as I go here.
It's like recombine.
Yeah, recombine. RECOMIBONICS.com.
All right, I'm going to correct one thing. We have a transposed letter there. It's RECOMB, as in recomb, INOMICS, recombinomics. Again, RECOMB, IN as in Nancy, OM as in Mary, ICS.com. That's Dr. Nyman's website. Dr. Nyman is a virologist. He studies the genetics of viruses. He does comments in everyday language for folks on some of the news events as they're occurring. Check out the What's New tab at the top of that website. If you want to hear an interview with Dr. Nyman, check RBN's website, the archives, and you will find under my listings, my name, you will find the first interview I did on RBN was with Dr. Henry Nyman. Also, you mentioned Flu Wiki. We're going to have the author of the Flu Wiki on with us tomorrow on Saturday at 1 o'clock, and we would strongly recommend you tune in to RBN Live tomorrow as well.
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. But you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.